This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Yes, it's Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community, taking you around the globe, one queer story at a time. I'm Matt. And in our COVID-safe Melbourne studios, I'm joined on the Worldwide Wave panel tonight by Shannon.
Hey.
And hey, a voice from the past, welcome back, Alex.
I'm alive.
Hello. Great to have you back.
Glad to be back.
The brochures may betray this country as a tropical paradise, but it's not quite so for the LGBTI community. Honduras in Central America has had a troubled past. And since a coup in 2009, the LGBTI community has come under attack, with a sharp rise in homophobic hate crimes and trans murders.
To give us an insight of the current situation for the LGBT community in Honduras, we are joined tonight by Astrid Ramos, a lawyer at Red Lesbica Cataracas. Here is a taste of what's coming up tonight.
During the coup d'etat, the violence against LGBTI people got worse. Before the coup, our observatory reported 20 violent deaths from 1998 to 2008. But during the 8 months of the coup, more than 30 LGBTI people were killed.
Nestled in Central America is the Republic of Honduras. From turquoise waters and beachside resorts to rich agricultural country, it might seem easy to miss the troubled past of this country. Drugs, wars, cyclonic destruction and poverty almost form part of the Honduras story. For LGBT people, life in Honduras has never been easy. But since 2009, it has steadily gotten worse. Astrid Ramos, lawyer at Red Lesbica Cataracas, tells us how the murder of Vicky Hernandez on the very first day of the new regime set the tone for violent deaths to become a regular occurrence for the Honduras LGBT community. And those who commit these killings usually escape the consequences.
Well, my name is Astrid Ramos. I'm a lawyer at Red Lesbica Cataracas. Cataracas is a lesbian and feminist organization that advocates for LGBTI human rights in Honduras. And we work in five fundamental areas. First of all, we have a media monitoring center. We also have a violent LGBTI deaths observatory. We have a national and international strategic litigation area. We also track and analyze international recommendations given to the Honduran state on LGBTI matters. And we also have an area of political incidents to change the current situation of LGBTI people in Honduras. Basically, what we do is that we use everything that our Center for Media Monitoring and Observatory collects as evidence for litigation and political incidents. For example, in one of our most important cases argued before the Inter-American Court, our primary evidence that Vicky Hernandez's murder was in fact an extrajudicial killing during the coup d'etat on June 2009 were the patterns recognized by our observatory that demonstrated how many, where, and when other trans women were killed. In this context, 15 trans women, including Hernandez, were murdered during the coup with very similar characteristics.
And there's been a lot of reported violence towards LGBT people in Honduras. This is something that seems to have steadily gotten worse since, I think, 2009, kind of. Is that something that you could tell us about?
Yes, actually, it is very important to emphasize on Vicky's murder. Because during the coup d'etat, the violence against LGBTI people got worse. Before the coup, our observatory reported 20 violent deaths from 1998 to 2008. But during the 8 months of the coup, more than 30 LGBTI people were killed. That is why Vicky, as the first trans woman murdered by the de facto regime on the first day of the coup, has a huge symbolic meaning, because she represents the will of the regime to start a new country without LGBTI people. That strike on violence still affects our lives. And from Vicky's murder until now, we report 376 violent deaths. I gotta say that Honduras has the highest rate on LGBTI deaths in Latin America and the Caribbean, and 91% of these crimes are still in impunity. Yeah, so on June 28th of 2009, there was a coup d'etat in Honduras, and that made it possible that the de facto regime militarized all the country. So it is very, very important to say that all the violence, you know, actually triggered during this coup d'etat. Just the first day of the coup d'etat, there were two trans women murdered. Their bodies were found on the street. And 2 days later, two more of them were killed. So in the first 3 days of the coup d'etat, there were four trans women assassinated. And all of them shared similar characteristics that made us conclude that there were military forces involved in the extrajudicial killings of these trans women. And those murders actually represent the trigger on violent deaths. And before the coup d'etat, like in the decade before the coup d'etat, we only reported 20 violent deaths of LGBTI people in Honduras. But just in the 8 months of the coup d'etat, there were more than 30 people assassinated. So that actually sent a message, you know, to the society, and actually put us on the panorama, and sent a message that we could be killed with impunity. And that had a strong effect on that. And, you know, and 10 years have passed since then, 11 years have passed since then, and now we have over 370 violent deaths. So we do believe that the coup d'etat was actually the starting point of this very extreme violent context for LGBTI people in our country.
In Honduras, that's Astrid Ramos from Red Lesbica Cataracas. On Joy 94.9.
Yeah, so it seems that, you know, 2009 was like the coup that happened there then.
Turning the wrong way, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And those statistics are quite astounding, aren't they? That in the 10 years prior, only 20 violent deaths. Within 8 months, 30. I mean, it's just incredible. Stark difference, isn't it?
Yeah, especially with those...
And, like, from day one, too. Yeah. Like, bang. Wow.
Yeah, and it seems, you know, from what Astrid told us, that the government really used those first days of their coup to really set an example on what, like, a hardliner kind of stance they were going to start taking on the LGBT community with the murders of
It would also seem it's that issue of so often happens is it's that they're an easy target, particularly trans community.
Yeah.
You know, they're the most visible and often the most virulently disliked, you know, group amongst the general LGBTI community.
Tell us a bit more, Shannon, about the Vicky Hernandez murder. It seems to be the one that the activists are particularly, you know, highlighting as where all this started.
Yeah, so I believe it was the first one that happened at the coup. Especially due to the ones that came after it in those coming days, those first days, it was believed by Astrid and, you know, the other lawyers at Red Lesbica Caracas that that the military was involved and that the government not only kind of allowed the death to happen, but were kind of instrumental a bit in it. And it was, seen really as like the first kind of example of... what's going to be happening?
Because when there's coups, there's disorder. You know, it's is it a case of, you know, some random military people taking the law into their own hands, or is this something that is state-sanctioned killings? Mm. That's kind of how do you get to that point?
Yeah, well, I think she used the example, right, of similar characteristics of the different trans women. The murders, those first four, were all similar enough for them to come to, like, the conclusion that sadly, it was like the military, like that there seemed to be some military involvement.
And the fact that it's continued.
Yeah, so. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think that that issue of acting with impunity, it's not just that these murderers are able to act without, you know, risk, but the message, as Vicky was, as
I mean, 91% is astounding.
Was saying, yeah, the message it sends is it's okay, there's no consequence for your actions. And that and the highest rate in Central and Southern America. Now that's actually quite a terrible first place to be getting.
Yeah.
Yes, considering you're up against sort of Brazil, which has a pretty horrendous track record.
Yeah,
particularly against trans women.
The Inter-American Court, and I think we delve in this a bit more coming up. But so we should explain to people the Inter-American Court. A lot of the countries within Central and Southern America, I wouldn't say subscribe, they fall under the jurisdiction of this court. So a court ruling where some of these particularly, I guess, thorny human rights cases come up, contentious human rights cases, a court ruling at that regional level has impact on every country within the area, and the court has ruled that these countries, and it's affected other countries as well, have to change their laws. That, you know, the behaviours that they're letting happen to their LGBT community is not acceptable.
Yeah, I think we touched on a few weeks ago, right, when we spoke about Jamaica.
Absolutely,
They had a ruling there that was really pushing for change.
We've got lots more coming up. We are in Honduras tonight. In fact, we find out how the current political climate in Honduras is impacting their LGBTI community. You're listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Where our diverse communities can come together. Joy.
Hi, this is Costa Gavrielides, the president of Accept LGBT Cyprus, and you're on the Worldwide Wave.
Who's your favourite strong women? Who are the women that inspire you and really, you know, get you excited? Shannon?
I mean, look, it's got to be, for me, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Why?
I mean, again and again, coming out with the good stuff. But I think especially after the riots in the US, when she went on Instagram and said, this is what happened, this is how hard it was, you know, and really didn't back down and really, like, told her story about how traumatizing and horrible that day was, but like strong enough to like really tell people about it, I think was inspiring.
Yeah. Alex, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, well, of course, RBJ could have come from the same country, but I suppose the current leader, look, she's not exactly exciting, but I think she's got a level hand. That's, of course, Angela Merkel. Yeah, Mutti. And it's just because she just does not buy into the populist rhetoric, or, you know, she's calm, collected, as you'd expect from a good mother figure. Although I hear from living in Germany, from within inside the party, she is difficult to work under. She's a bit tyrannical. But, you know, you've got to maybe have that. Yes.
I'm going to say I've got to go Jacinta. Actually, two Kiwi women. Jacinta Ardern, who's just phenomenal. I think we should kidnap her and bring her over
absolutely.
Here. Yeah. But even before her, Helen Clark was an absolute trailblazer in New Zealand, and now she's up at the United Nations level and doing...
Helen Clark's a little bit like a New Zealand version of Angela, I think, like like not exactly fashionable, but just level-headed.
I think I say this every time New Zealand is mentioned, but would love to be a New Zealander.
Yes. Well, you can live there. Now, while we are seeing countries all over the world embrace marriage equality, in Honduras it's looking further and further away, despite the Inter-American Court stating that their ban on gay marriage being discriminatory. Leadership in Honduras has only made it harder to reverse. As a lawyer with Red Lesbica Cataracas, Astrid Ramos spends her days trying to fight against these changes. We discussed with Astrid the political climate in Honduras and how this impacts LGBT people.
There have been changes recently to Honduras's constitution that effectively put a permanent ban on marriage equality. Can you explain the changes and how it affects the LGBT community?
First of all, I got to say that Catrachas believes that banning the rights of LGBTI people to access to marriage is discriminatory and prevents LGBTI people from accessing all the patrimonial rights that origin in marriage. But can be in, and we believe that the ban on marriage can be, in some cases, a matter of life or death. For example, we have witnessed cases where a person cannot decide on medical issues that regard their couple, even if it's the only way to save their lives, because LGBTI couples are not seen as family in the eyes of the state. The Honduran Constitution was first amended to prohibit equal marriage in 2004 due to the pressure of fundamentalist groups as a response for its approval in Spain. In 2017, the Inter-American Court determined in the advisory opinion 24/17 that the ban on same-sex marriage was a discriminatory violation to equality. Based on this resolution, Catrachas interposed an action of unconstitutionality to revert the prohibition in 2018. However, the Supreme Court has not yet resolved it. And in January 2021, the Honduran Congress passed a reform to require three-quarters of supermajority to vote out existing bans on both abortion and same-sex marriage in our constitution. Catrachas also presented an action of unconstitutionality to fight this last reform due to the multiple inconsistencies in the process of its approval and the violation of our constitution. So it's not only banned in our constitution, same-sex, it's not only banned in our constitution, but it also requires three-quarters of supermajority to reform it. And this is very different from other reforms that are made to the constitution because they require two-thirds. So actually what the Congress did on January was to require greater a supermajority than the one that existed before.
When we were talking, you said that there was an election like just yesterday. Has that changed anything, or has that made it harder or easier, or has that just kind of kept the status quo?
Well, first of all, I gotta say that there were less LGBTI candidates for these primary elections. These are the primary elections. We have general elections on November of this year. And it has been very interesting because in the elections that took place in 2017, there was a lot of instrumentalism of LGBTI matters for some of the most conservative candidates. And that made a direct impact on the deaths of LGBTI people. So when you had like a candidate that publicly said a hate speech on in the campaign, then the days after that we had a lot of LGBTI murders. But in this case it has been very strange in what I have said. First of all, because the LGBTI candidates are not as visible and are not as many, and because of all that is happening in my country, right, and the government being linked to drug traffickers and whatever, like the hate towards LGBTI people has actually diminished in the context of these elections. And the people that were elected yesterday do not have either an LGBTI pro speech or against it. So they're basically neutral. But they, of course, represent the status quo, right? I mean, the two major parties won. We have an ex-convicted as a candidate now. He was just released from an American court for money laundering, and he's now a candidate for the presidency. And we have the current president, right hand for as a candidate as well. And then we have another candidate that is like the center leftist party. And even though this party, like in they institutionally support LGBTI matters, there's no candidate that says this publicly. So it's not going to change anything for us.
From Central America, that's Astrid Ramos from Red Lesbica Cataractus with us on Joy 94.9.
Now, she touched there on this constitutional change, and this is actually where we first sort of thought, let's explore what's happening in Honduras, because it was only at the start of the year that the government specifically changed the constitution to make it virtually impossible only two things to get to be changed in the constitution. One was same-sex marriage and one was abortion.
Tells a story, yeah? Again, that link so commonly between women's rights and LGBTI rights. Yeah.
Yeah, so this, the constitutional ban has been deemed by the Inter-American
Court of Human Rights. Yep.
Discriminatory and shouldn't exist.
Yeah,
it's
a bit of a no-brainer.
And they are waiting on the Supreme Court to kind of make a ruling on that in Honduras, but they've been, you know, putting that kind of off for obvious reasons. And in the meantime, they've just made it harder to, in the face of that, have actually just made it harder to change it.
And then, as Astrid says, it's really hard for LGBT political candidates to get enough profile to get some votes to get into parliament to make some changes. Like it's really hard getting started in that area.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's hard when both the legal process and the cultural kind of movement are not with you.
And you know, no doubt, there's so many issues in Honduras. You know, just general violence, drug trafficking, all those issues that plague all of those Central American republics.
And you mentioned that parallel between LGBT rights and women's rights, which often, and it goes both ways, they can regress together or go forward together. I was just thinking that you've got here a strong female lesbian advocate. Gee, you'd have to be a target in the country, wouldn't you?
Mm.
Yeah, it'd be hard to be pushed for these changes.
In fact, coming up, we do actually speak to Astrid about, you know, what drives her, what keeps her fighting for the LGBTI community in Honduras. You're on World Wide Wave.
The Joy Community, here for you, here together.
This is Ryan Reed from the International Gay Rodeo Association, battling up with World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
It's the show that takes you around the globe one queer story at a time, World Wide Wave. And tonight we are talking about the LGBT experience in Honduras. A special hello to everybody listening to us on podcast. You can subscribe to receive our podcast automatically either at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or iTunes or your favourite podcast platform. And don't forget to leave a review.
Now, guys, I want to tell you, coming up, most exciting time of the year, it's Radiothon. It's coming up in a few weeks' time in April, and the theme this year is Embrace Joy. So we want everybody to... It's like a big group hug.
Yes.
Except you need to have one arm free to go into your wallet and pull it out, because it's also the fundraiser that keeps Joy on air.
Sure thing.
And it means that we can bring you stories from all over the world and continue to, as we are in our 10th year this year. We want to continue, and we're going to need your help to keep independent voices heard. So keep an eye out. We'll be making calls out to you to get involved, to share the messages, to become a member, to donate. So it's the 14th to the 23rd of April, Joy Radiothon. You can embrace us and embrace Joy. Now, we were talking before too, inspiring women that inspire you. We were very quick off the mark to pick international women. Have we got any closer to home?
I mean, all the women involved in the stuff, all the stuff going on in Parliament that is standing up for women, and the recent marches, all the women that attended, all the, you know, rallies for justices and the standing up for women all over this country.
Yep. I admire Penny Wong in particular. She,
yep.
You know, she...
It's the queen.
Yeah, the queen. yes, very inspirational there as well. And you mentioned somebody from the past too, Natasha?
Natasha Stott-Despoir, the original...
from the Democrats.
Yes, who, you know, most people remember because she wore... Doc Martens in her first
outrageous.
No, you think back now and go, you know, well, but at the time, yeah, she's still going. Not because she brought out a book recently, I believe, but title escapes me, but she's written a book that saw her interviewed recently. Yeah, she was inspirational back in the day.
Tonight we are in Honduras, and during the last 12 months, the whole world has been figuring out how to survive the coronavirus. And Honduras has certainly been no different, with LGBT people being turned away from hospitals. Many of them have been left to suffer. This is a country that already has many people trying to seek refuge in the United States. Despite all this, our guest, lawyer Astrid Ramos from Red Lesbica Catracas, tells us how she pushes through and continues to fight for the LGBT community, and what she hopes and sees for the future of Honduras.
What laws in Honduras do you think hit the LGBT community the hardest? And how do you think the legal situation in Honduras makes it harder to be LGBT there?
There are a lot of illegal bans for LGBTI people in Honduras. And before I tell you what those bans are, we in Catrachas believe that all legal bans are an institutional form to legitimate, in a way, discrimination against LGBTI people. Because through the denial of rights based only on sexual orientation, gender, and expression identity, the state sends a clear message to the population. And it is that it is okay to treat us differently and that we are second-class citizens that are not worthy of the same rights. In Honduras, not only same-sex is banned, but also the recognition of same-sex celebrated abroad and the recognition of de facto civil unions of LGBTI couples, adoption, intimate visits in jails, name change based on gender identity, and even blood donation, even when it's to our own family. All these bans make it very hard to be an LGBTI person in Honduras because it's basically illegal to access to basic human rights.
And a pattern that we've noticed here at Worldwide Wave, when we've been talking to people over the last kind of 12 months, has been a real increase globally in violence against LGBT people during COVID. Sometimes it's because of the family they've been with or because they've been pushed out of their family and haven't had somewhere to go. Is that something that you've also observed in Honduras?
Actually, what we observed with the quarantine-related lockdowns was that the hate that has historically been directed to LGBTI people actually was turned over COVID patients in the first months of the pandemic here. There was a lot of discrimination and all the hatred was toward, the danger that COVID patients represented. So that made it that we actually report less violent deaths in 2020. We report 20 violent deaths in 2020, and those are 21 less than the ones reported for 2019. We have observed also that some of the dynamics have changed, like the fact that people were locked down changed the way LGBTI people interacted with other actors. And because of that, the exposure to violence was less during the COVID emergency. And we have talked to peer organizations in the region, and we have, in fact, determined that something similar has happened in other Central American countries and in the Caribbean.
Any long-term consequences for the LGBT community regarding coronavirus?
Yeah. So from what we've seen in our observatory, we do believe that the pandemic has changed some of the dynamics. And it is reflected on the decrease of the murders, right, from last year. But we have seen that it's not going to be that way for a long term. We think that it doesn't have the potential to change the structural discrimination against LGBTI people in my country. LGBTI people keep migrating. There are no work opportunities, and the Honduras state keeps denying our rights. And in general, we believe that everything will stay the same until we have, you know, the potential to change the structural causes of the violence through legal, you know, terms like Vicky's case.
Do you think that it could cause any negative consequences?
Other than LGBTI people not being killed as much in 2020, we have not seen any other changes, right? As I said, LGBTI people keep emigrating to the United States. In the first months of this year, for example, around 400 LGBTI people were on the migration caravan, a caravan of 4,000 people in total. So 10% of this caravan were LGBTI people. But those numbers have been similar in other caravans from the last 3-4 years. And I don't think it's going to, you know, there's going to be any negative consequences in the long term, because all the context has been negative especially since the coup d'etat. So it's not as relevant, we think. It has changed in the meantime, some dynamics that have impact on violent deaths. But in the access of other rights, for example, things have stayed the same.
I've seen a quote from your organization saying the most important thing is to hold on, resist. When you're fighting against LGBT discrimination in a country where it seems like both the culture and the legal situation seems really hard, how do you find it to keep pushing for change?
Yes, it is very hard to be a human rights defender in Honduras, but the situation is quite simple. Our lives depend on our fight, and changes are never granted. Social and legal transformations demand people who reivindicate these transformations. So we believe that nothing is free, and if we want things to be different, we must fight for them.
And what changes are you hopeful to see in the near future? What are the most important long-term fights?
So with Vicky's case before the Inter-American Court, we want to represent that it is possible to make justice for everyone. And we hope that the Inter-American Court condemns the Honduran state and orders the elimination of laws that discriminate against us just based on sexual orientation and gender identity. We are hopeful that in the near future, transgender people would be able to change their names based on their identity. And we also hope that bans on marriage, de facto civil unions, and intimate visits in jail are reverted with this sentence from the Inter-American Court.
From Central America, that's Astrid Ramos from Red Lesbica Catracas with us on Joy 94.9. It's a little bit sad that the most positive news is that there's less killings. On the reverse of that, I'm quite inspired that, you know, Astrid says that, you know, that really the changes are going to come through legal grounds, through legal fights, and they've got somebody the quality of Astrid who is clearly not going to give in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she says the only way through is to fight, and that's, you know, that is very inspirational here, especially, I guess, when you live in Australia where you can start to take those sort of things for granted a bit.
And keep fighting, they will.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ludwig Mohamed Zahid. I'm a gay imam speaking from France on World Wide Wave.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
And a huge thank you to Astrid Ramos from Red Lesbica Cataracas for letting us speak to her. And they can be found at www.cataracas.org.
And thank you to all our messages, Facebook, Bev, Dee Dee, Maeve, Rachel, William, and heap more who've joined us to interact on Facebook this past week. That's W3Joy on Facebook.
And, of course, our wonderful behind-the-scene team, Dean, our social media master, and our podcaster, Peter. Catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.